I want to speak to you on the eternity and foreordination of salvation in God's way. And I want to read with you the first 12 verses of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible word. My subject in the gospel today is the eternity and foreordination of salvation in God's way. The first words of the Bible and the final words of the Bible are both most special and reveal supernatural revelations. In the first verse of the Bible, we see divinely God in the act of creation of our world. And we have those very wonderful words which open the Bible to us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Here we have brought to our attention the creation of the world. In the first verse, the eternal sweet of the beginning of the heaven and the earth are revealed. The heaven came first, and then the world in which we live came in order, in the order of God's divine way. I love to remember God the Father and his only begotten Son, and God the Holy Ghost. In the revelation of the work of creation, the heaven of the eternal creation is the everlasting revelation of God's creation. The last verses of the Bible take us to a statement, a marvelous statement, as we finish the whole revelation of the book of God. Revelation at the second chapter, and here's what we read. We read, he which testifieth these things. What things? The things that tie us from the beginning of creation to the fulfillment of divine glory and peace. Amen, said John. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The first verse of the Bible has the eternal sweet of the beginning of creation and goes on to speak of the divine revelation of the earth and all that it contains. The heaven came first, and then the world in the order of creation. I love to remember God the Father, and His only begotten Son, and God the Holy Ghost, in the revelation of their divine work of creation, the heaven of the eternal creation is the everlasting revelation of God's creation. The last verses of our Bible, they write up of heaven, our eternal resting place. So we're taken with one great sweep of the omnipotent Christ, who made by at the order of His Father this world. We have this great and wonderful map that carries us from the commencement of heaven to the finality of a heaven that cannot be moved. Here we view heaven as our everlasting home. Listen, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, for heaven is our eternal home. The heaven of the eternal creation is the priority of all God's creation. The last verses of the Bible, they unfold to us heaven as the eternal home of the blood-bought sinners saved by the grace of God. Someday I'll greet you and I'll say to you, home at last. And together we will shout the hallelujah of eternal bliss. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The heaven of God's creation is the priority of God's creation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Heaven is the heaven of all the people of God. The newborns, the blood washed, and those that enjoy eternal life and are appointed a place in the mansions of God in eternity. We are told how it began, and we are now being told how it will never end, because this great work of God in creation will never end. His eternal creation stands fast forever. The eternal day is unending. There is no night there. In the eternal days that will be confirmed, and there will be ushered in the eternal day when they sun will never set, when darkness will never come, but we will be in the sweet eternity. And eternity is for the lifetime of God. It never ends. The eternal days of everlasting joys. Baptize us. The mystery of the incarnate Christ will eternally be revealed to us as eternity opens to us the vista and the glory of a world without end. Amen. We shall see Christ, and we shall see him face to face. And we will rejoice in the pardoning grace of God. All that Christ purchased by the shedding of his most precious blood will be imparted to me by grace alone in the heavens to come. Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Nothing can touch the soul that's washed in the blood of the Lamb. We were once rebels, but we are rebels no more, because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. My happy soul is free, for the Lord has purchased me. Hallelujah to his blessed name. To be there. Oh, what must it be to be there? In the eternal days of the everlasting and never-ending future, we will dwell confirmed forever by the omnipotence of God. What a day will usher in the beginning of our stay in heaven. And we are not going to visit heaven. We're going to be kings and priests to God in heaven. That will be confirmed eternally when we all get there. The eternal days of everlasting joys will baptize us. The mystery of the incarnate Christ will be revealed to us in all its fullness. We shall see Christ. We shall speak with Christ. We shall embrace Christ. We shall worship Christ. We shall eat and feast with Christ forevermore. This is the grandeur of the gospel. Face to face shall I behold him. Far beyond the starry sky. Face to face. Face in all his glory. I shall see him by and by. Saved by grace. Listen to it. Alone. This is all my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes. And when millions of years have passed, I shall still see him face to face. I shall still sing the story saved by the blood of the Lamb. I will not need any introduction to anyone in heaven, because I will have the glory of being like Christ. And as Christ knows us all, we shall know everyone in heaven. Oh, the wonder of it all. But secondly, we must underscore the mystery of Christ's incarnation. We shall see Christ because he is one of us, because he has chosen to identify himself with the sons and daughters of Adam's race who have received the gift of eternal life. What a mystery is here. It's a mystery of the mysterious God incarnate. Christ entered into the human race. Himself, he became a man. He was manifested. He was seen. He was handled in the flesh. God made flesh, and God was made flesh and, listen to it, dwelt among us. And he came and dwelt amongst us forevermore. He will always be amongst us. He'll never be taking any life off us. He will never be saying to us, I'm going away. He's going to be with us all the unending day and the eons of eternity. To take into union with our humanity and become our God-man, the man Christ Jesus did that wonderful thing. God made us and God dwelt amongst us. And God identified himself with our humanity. He took our flesh. He has been handled by human hands. Humanity was able to touch him and handled him. And thank God, those of us who believe, we can feel his touch. We can feel the warmth of his hand. And we can hear the sweetness of his voice. Oh, the wonder, the everlasting wonder of the incarnate Son of God. And more than that, he's my brother. And I have a birth certificate yonder in the glorious heaven, witnessing to the fact that I'm the born child of the Son of God. For one day I was born again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, we were glorified. Freely forever. And one day, he's coming. Oh, glorious day. But we look again, and we find that in Christ, thirdly, we have the obtaining of reconciliation. What did Christ come into the world to do? He came into the world to save sinners, rebels. Jesus came to pardon. Christ is the Savior of sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. And as a poor, broken, vile sinner, cursed from head to toe with Adam's transgression and with our own, thank God Jesus came to save me from my sins. And what he came to do, he has done. Praise his holy name. Fourthly, the marvelous reconciliation of the sinner to the righteous God was accomplished by the atonement of Christ. What is atonement? Is at one moment we are made one with him in his death for us. Christ does receive sinners. He does save sinners. He does save to the very uttermost. Oh, the wonderful change of sinful souls when the Lord saves them. That's what Jesus came to do. He's the Savior of the world. He came to save sinners. He came to bring them to God, his Father. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came to suffer our damnation so that we can be legally discharged from sin. For the debt has been paid, the law has been satisfied, and God has been reconciled to us. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God himself did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great. And grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. So we have been reconciled to God. The reconciliation of the sinner to God by the death of Christ on the cross has been obtained. There's a stamp on it. It is finished. And that can never be changed or altered. Yes, but fifthly, God can receive the sinner and God can save the sinner from all his debt. But on the cross, with the rich money of his precious blood, he paid all our debts, settled all our sins, and lifted us from the darkness of eternal hell into the glory of the eternal heaven. What a wonderful power there is in the precious blood of the Lamb. His blood is able to save to the very uttermost, all that come unto God by him. Does his blood avail for you? Are you a partaker of this salvation? The flowing blood of the sinless Lamb of God lies at the very heart of our gospel. I took up a little book from my many books. A little book written by Horatius Bonner, who was a preacher of the Free Church of Scotland. And he wrote there, "Sin smote Christ to the dust at last. His God could not deliver in the day of ill. And he lay down to die, returning home after long, erring years without a hope. The light seemed blotted from his firmament. The sun and the stars seemed to have disappeared. And the man that was lost wished he could hide himself from God and man. But hope was nearer than he thought it was. In ways he little looked for. The old truth, buried so long and trodden underfoot, rose up to reassert its dormant power. Within him, as he lay thus, face to face, with the near death he had so long defied, he was smitten as a dust at last. His God could not deliver in the day of ill. And he lay down to die, returning home. And after long erring years, without a hope, the light seemed blotted from his firmament. And the sun and stars seemed to have been put out. He wished to hide himself from God and man. But the hope was nearer than he thought it came. In ways he little looked for. The old truth, buried so long and trodden underfoot, rose up to reassert the dormant power. Within him, as he lay thus face to face, with the near death he had so long defied, the well-known walls seemed written over it. But that's not the end of the story. For there was one who came, the man Christ Jesus. He had forged a human anvil. He was tempered with no earthly heat and cold. They never could break him, for he was the maker of the sun and the giver of life. The Christ of God became a living center. He came from the brightest of glory to us where we dwell. Angels and men looked on. Heaven and earth was silent. And then suddenly, he appeared on my doorstep. Christ, the eternal being, the steadfast Savior, had come to save me. Divine security brought with it eternal salvation. And we were touched by his precious hand and marked for eternal bliss. I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. The Spirit burning in me sets my heart aglow, and I praise the Lord today. He has washed my sins away. I was there when it happened, and it happened, and I ought to know. Call upon him, my friend. Shout from the heart, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Pass today from death to life everlasting, and start for heaven. And while the voice, while the word of Jesus in your ears, be in time. May God bless and make fruitful his word to your heart for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.